Bible says, forgetting those things behind and pressing forward to those things which are ahead. We're going to talk very plain and very expressively about what we believe about the workings of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to start with a man that you might be familiar with. His name is Jesus. We're going to start about some prophecies that was told about him in Isaiah chapter 61, if you want to turn there. Isaiah chapter 61. Now, this message is not for wimps. This message is not for wishy-washy people. This message is for those of you who really want to see God move in your life. And you really want to see the scripture fulfilled in your life, and you have purposed in your heart, or you will purpose in your heart today, that you're going to walk and you're going to live and you're going to function in the Holy Spirit. A man was standing by Niagara Falls. And as he was standing there, there was another man standing by him, and he looked at Niagara Falls and said, "This is the most untapped, unused power in the world." And the man said, "No, sir, you're wrong." And the man said, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, "The most unused power in the world is the power that the Holy Spirit gives us." Amen. And so when we start today, we're going to start with Jesus and we're going to end up with us. It's always a good place to start. In Isaiah chapter 61, prophetically speaking, 600-800 years before Christ was born, the prophet Isaiah says this, talking about Jesus, "For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Now, some people would say, "Are you sure that's about Jesus? What makes you think it wasn't about someone else?" There's an answer to that question in Luke chapter 4, if you want to go there. Luke chapter 4. And the Bible says in verse 17, let's go to verse 16. "So he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and his custom was he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.'" Then he, meaning Jesus, closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, "Today," say "today" with me,
"today,
this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the one, or I am the one Isaiah was prophesying about. There's a verse in Acts 10:38, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus came for many reasons. He came to demonstrate the Father to the people. Philip looked at him one day and he says, show us the Father. And Jesus looked at him and said, have I been with you so long you haven't seen the Father? He wasn't saying, I'm the Father. He says, you can see the Father by what I do, how I live, how I walk, how I talk. You can see the Father. So he came to show us the Father. He also came to set the captives free, those bound by Satan. We were reading that here. He came and he said, if the Son sets you free, you're what?
Free indeed.
You shall know the truth and what?
Truth.
Who said I'm the way, the truth, and the life?
Jesus.
And he came to die for us. Way before the disciples had an inkling of what was going on, and even when they didn't understand it, he said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to crucify me, and on the third day, I'm going to rise again. In fact, is after the resurrection, the Bible says he rebuked them for unbelief of heart because they didn't believe those who had told them he was risen. Fact is, Luke says, when the ladies told them about the resurrection, the disciples said, this is nonsense. Jesus came to break the bonds, the control, the captivity that Satan had over people's lives. He came to set them free. He worked miracles. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He did all the things that the Messiah was supposed to do. And he walked out this life. Now I want to show you a verse before we go to Mark 16. It's in John 14, 11. In John 14, 11, I can tell you what it says, but I want you to see it. It's actually verse 12. Jesus says this, most assuredly I say to you, look at me. He said, people, you better believe what I'm telling you. How many of you are ready to believe? You better believe what I'm telling you. Tony, you ready? Okay. Just thought I'd check. Martha, you ready? Okay. 14:12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father. How many did some great works this week in the name of Jesus? You see, as we start 2011, boy, it's hard to believe. From 1944 to 2011 is 2 or 3 years, isn't it? Been around a long time preaching the message. But the message hasn't changed. The message is still the same. Jesus said, if you believe in me, how many believe in him? Greater works than what you've seen. What did they see? Man, he took loaves and fishes and multiplied it and fed probably 20,000 people. I know it says 5,000 and 4,000, but for some reason they didn't include women and children. He walked on this earth. Guy was dead 4 days behind a stone in a grave or in a tomb. He tells him, roll away the stone. And Martha said, but man, he stinks. Jesus said, did I not say to you, if you'll believe, you'll see my glory? And they rolled away the stone. And Jesus cried, Lazarus, come forth. And out he come. Somebody said, well, why didn't he just call, come forth? Somebody said, well, because everybody in that place that was dead would have come out. He specifically said, Lazarus. He walked on water, and it wasn't even January. He did all the things that the Scripture says. And look at me for a moment. The Scripture says that if everything Jesus did was written down, there wouldn't be enough books, enough space in this world to contain the books. So there's a lot of things Jesus did that they probably looked at it and said, well, don't you get the picture? So greater works than these shall you do. As believers in Jesus Christ. And so what are these things? In Mark chapter 16, Jesus became very specific. And he started telling us. Now, for some reason, because a couple of the manuscripts don't have this portion in your Bibles, especially in the newer versions, people say, well, I don't believe that. I do. And you can make a choice if you're going to accept this, because the choice is that Jesus gave his disciples power to do everything he was doing. And now he was giving it to everyone who believed. And we can look at that and we can deny it, or you may have a little, my Bible has a little note there, well, this wasn't in all the manuscripts, but I'll take it if it was in one and Jesus said it. Verse 14 is a scripture I mentioned to you. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table of chapter 16 of Mark. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Look at me. Don't just look at this passage of scripture and say, well, I don't believe. I wrote something down on my tablet and that was this. A man with an experience or a person with an experience is never at the mercy of someone with just an argument. You hear me? A person with an experience, if you've experienced Christ, if you've experienced the Holy Spirit, if you experience God touching people, healing people, setting them free, casting out devils, you're never at the mercy of someone who said, well, I believe in dispensationalism. I don't believe that happens anymore. Amen? Amen. Come on. Don't let anybody talk you out of anything God has for you. Don't come to a place where, well, I'm just not going to believe that because so-and-so said. Who's so-and-so compared to God? And so there'll be people all over trying to throw water on what you believe. Don't accept it. Finally, the disciples came to believing. And he said to them in verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. These signs. A sign is a symbol of authority, of the authenticity of something. That's a big word for me. Try to wrap my tongue around it. A sign is like the authenticity of the validity of what's happening. So, you have the authenticity and the authority that's been given to you by Christ. When you lay hands on somebody, when you cast out a devil, when you do the things that we're going to talk about here in a moment, that is the proof. That's the proof. You see, when somebody comes to me and say, well, God doesn't do that anymore, I ask him, when did he stop? Must have been yesterday because I've seen it happen for years. We have on video God opening blind eyes. That just happened? No. When you're in Mexico, Dave Leeshocker was taking video as we were praying for a blind woman and God popped her eyes open. These signs will follow those who believe. And here's the key. In my name. We do nothing in my name or your name or anybody else's name. Everything we do is in the name of Jesus. In my name, you will cast out demons. You will speak with new tongues. You will take up serpents. If you eat any deadly thing or drink any deadly thing, and I'll show you what that means in a few moments, it will not hurt you. You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We shall do that. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you think at some time you might need some of this? Know anybody who's sick? You know anybody who's oppressed or controlled or possessed or whatever term you want to put on it by a demon? Do you know anybody that needs the power of the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Wow. Paul needed to know that if a serpent bit him, he wasn't going to die. What did he do in Acts 28? Get off me, fall in the fire. If you come on Friday mornings, you better have their other one. Eat any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. And so we come to a place where I just want to look at these quickly. Jesus said that in my name or by my authority, you're going to do these things. The first thing, when you look at something, don't think, well, I got to do something. No, you got to pray. It's in his name things happen. I was in a youth convention in Minneapolis many years ago. Lowell Lundstrom was preaching. And I'm sitting there enjoying with our youth group from Virginia. We were having a good time, and all of a sudden, this crazed, demon-possessed, demonized is the right word, person come down the aisle. If I'm thinking, all these pastors here, I'm in good shape. I'll let them deal with this. And he's walking down the aisle and he's making all kinds of funny sounds and all kinds of noises and he stops right where I'm sitting. I said, shoo, go away. Go away. He didn't go. Didn't have a fly swatter. Couldn't hit him. So in the middle of a service, the Lord said, you take care of it. So we led him to the back of the auditorium and in Jesus' name, the evil spirit left. In my name. A Presbyterian pastor in town for years, a Native American brother, worked at Tekakwitha when they were a children's home and they'd bring in all kinds of kids. And one day he calls me and he says, Dwight, can you come out here? And I said, yeah, what's going on? He said, I got a Satanist. They dropped off this Satanist and it's different. And I said, well, cast out the devil. No, you come and do it. So I went out there. And by the time we were done and that kid was free, the pastor's eyes were about like this. Just like a deer in the headlights. Well, you heard me tell of the mother who brought their son, who was a Satanist, to the office here when my office was there. And as we were praying for him, the demon picked him up and threw him off the chair. Big guy. But he left free. There are times when you're going to meet situations that you can't counsel, that aren't logical. You can never counsel a demon. They have one purpose, destroy the person they're in. And Jesus said, you're going to throw them out. You're going to evict them. You're going to drive them out. You're going to expel them. And the purpose of this was just like if you had a country with borders, you would drive all the enemies out of that country, is what it illustrates. That country was free from the enemies, and the person would be free from the demons. But we're sophisticated now. Did you know, and I didn't until this morning when I was doing some reading, did you know that people in the time of Jesus figured that insanity and what we call mental illness was demonic? Do we realize that? That a lot of the stuff that we give people pills for can be taken care of if we cast out the force that's doing. I know that's hard, and I know people say, oh, Pastor, you're off the deep end. Are we? What about the maniac of Gadara? Do you think he'd have been classified as a manic depressive or bipolar? Or what we used to call schizophrenic? He was there cutting himself. He would break the chains. All this kind of stuff. There's one very interesting thing here, folks, and don't forget it, is that that man, when Jesus stepped on the shore, ran to Jesus, didn't run away from him. The attraction of the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ drew the demonic from Gadara and didn't push him away. Look at your hands. I haven't had you do that for a while. Look at your hands. You say, what am I looking at? Well, not your wedding ring or not this or that. Jesus said, these hands are going to cast out demons and you're going to lay them on people that are sick and they're going to be healed. Can we believe that? Can we accept that? You have nothing to fear when it comes to satanic's power. Greater is he that's what? Where? Than what? He that's in the world. If you're living for Jesus, now look at me for a moment. Jesus gave this power to the disciples even before they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 9, he gave them power over evil spirits. And they went out and they cast out devils. We now have the Holy Spirit living within us. We have more power than they did when Jesus sent them out. Amen or oh me? It's true. Jesus just said, go do it. But you know something? We get nervous. We get upset. Wednesday night we were talking about the fact that when Satan is going to be bound, that he didn't send Michael or some great big angel. He just looked around and said, hey, you, are you an angel? Huh? Who's the littlest one here? Come here. You got your wings yet? Okay, you can come here. Don't look at me like that. I'm not going to pick on you. Come here, honey. Yeah. Do you like Pastor? That qualifies you. The little angel up in heaven takes a chain, if there are little angels, like this little one, and go binds the devil and throws him in a pit for 1,000 years. Isaiah 14 says the day is going to come when we're going to look and say, are you the one that did this to us? Are you the one that messed up my life? Are you the one that made me full of unforgiveness? Are you the one that made me bitter? Are you the one that did all this to me? Thank you, honey. And that little angel goes by and is the devil. Secondly, and this is one we don't like to talk about. Pastors shouldn't talk about this because it's controversial. Did you know the Bible's controversial? Jesus said you're going to speak in new languages. How many of you, when you go buy a pair of shoes, say, I want them without tongues? I don't want the tongues. That's Pentecostal shoes. Hello. Come on. We can have fun. It wasn't the devil that said you're going to speak in tongues. It's Jesus. Paul said, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than you all. What is tongues? The Bible says building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. There are two different kinds of tongues. One you just heard out there. There's one tongue that is used for your personal edification. The Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought to in Romans 8:27. But the Holy Spirit praying through us with groanings that cannot be uttered or understood. The other tongue is one you'll hear in a service like this when someone will speak in a tongue and then there will be an interpretation. Okay, look at me for a moment. An interpretation, a translation are not the same things. It doesn't say one will speak in tongues and one will translate. A translation is a word for word writing that says what every little word said. It's an interpretation. It's giving you the gist of things. It's giving you the gist of what is being said. And so as you are touched by God, as you are filled with the Holy Spirit, sometimes in that experience, according to Acts chapter 2, you will speak in tongues. People say, well, I don't want them. Why not? I want everything Jesus has for me. Paul says that prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, except. You see, people throw that at you. Except, one interprets. So in the church service, you don't want everybody blabbering in an unknown tongue. You want a message, a gift of tongue, and an interpretation so that the meaning of what was said is done. Now, all tongues don't have to be interpreted. In the public setting, they need to be. Okay? Building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, Paul says, speaking in tongues edifies me. Do I speak in tongues? Yeah. Am I afraid the devil's doing it? No. Because you know something? When I get excited about Jesus, I don't think the devil wants to be around. If you folks ever had that experience of being excited about Jesus, looking at me, Pastor, I dare you to bless me this morning. I'm getting scared. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's for your strength. In fact, it's right after the armor of God. It says praying always with all supplication in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We okay? Nobody's leaving? How about the one that says you're going to take up serpents? You ever been to a snake handling service? I heard about the pastor who went to a snake handling service and they started bringing out the snakes after he preached. And he looked at the pastor and said, where's the back door? And the pastor said, we don't have one. He said, reckon where you want one. He's not talking about playing games with God and handling snakes to show how mighty I am in the Holy Spirit. He's talking about Paul in Acts 28, where they had the shipwreck and he was on the island of Malta and he took wood out to put on the fire and a viper, a snake, bit him. And he just shook it off in the fire and the people were expecting him to die and nothing happened. It's divine protection. It's not divine stupidity. You don't go play with rattlesnakes. You don't go play with cobras. But if you're doing something on a mission for God and it bites you, you can believe God to take care of it. We okay? Amen. Secondly, he says if you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. It's not coming to a place where you're going to show everybody how great you are and you're going to start drinking strychnine. You're going to die. It means that if you consume something deadly that you're not even aware of, it's not going to kill you. It means food. In the Greek, when it says drink any deadly thing, it's talking about consuming it, taking it. It's not showing off. It's not saying, hey, I'm bigger than this poison. I'm this or I'm that. No, God has a way of protecting you. How many have ever been on a mission trip to a foreign country? How many was always excited about the food they served? Yeah. I've seen things I don't even know if it was dead yet. And so we walk this out, and when you go, God protects. God takes care of it. I'm not going to get real gross, so I'm not going to tell that story. But you can trust God. It's about divine protection. God is going to take care of you. Somebody said one of the first things about missions, if it's put before you, eat it. Pray first. You go to some of these restaurants, you ever been in the kitchens? Pray first. Pray. You need to get back to blessing the food. The man that carried the cross, Arthur Blessed. He and his brother-in-law or somebody went into a bathroom, and they were going to, after they did their thing, they were going to go eat, and his brother-in-law wouldn't touch the doorknobs, or they wouldn't touch the water faucet because he didn't want any germs. And Arthur Blessed looked at him and said, well, who's your God? And the guy looked at him and said, well, what do you do? He said, I just curse every germ in this place. And I eat. I'm not afraid to touch what other people have touched. Curse it. Walk it out. Live it. You don't have to live your life in some kind of fear. It's goofy. We walk it out. We're children of God. Amen. If God is big enough to raise the dead, isn't he big enough to kill some germs? I'm not saying go out and eat angleworms. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the church has learned to live in so much fear, we don't want to move. We're afraid of everything. And God says, hey, time to walk it out. Time to live it. I actually believe in divine protection. I mean, we were talking Wednesday night with Scotty teaching about people who were in terrible countries or situations in the inner city, and all of a sudden the gangs that were going to attack them left because they had these mighty men with them, big guys. Just maybe they might have been angels. Not the California angels either. They were angels. We take steps of faith. We walk this out. We live by the power of God. And we trust him to take care of us. If Jesus tarries, am I going to die someday? Yeah. But I'm not going to live my whole life in fear of it. This morning, I'd probably be happy to trade Sisseton for heaven. You'll get that someday. Last one is this. And what a timing thing when health and health care and all this stuff is in the news. What about divine health care? There's one thing better than healing. Do you know what it is? Divine health. But for the people now who are worried about the government and worried about this, look at me, folks. I don't care if you're on Social Security, you're on welfare, you're on what. The government isn't your source. Amen? Amen. I get a Social Security check. I like it. Well, Disha could do a say, amen. I'm not ashamed to say I'm getting back some of what I paid in. And I'm getting back what Kirk is paying in. And I'm getting back what Scotty's paying in. And I'm getting back what Pete paid in. I'm getting back what Paul paid in. I'm getting it all. Hello. Come on. What do you mean? I got mine before you. I'm getting Loretta's too. But in all seriousness, that government's not my source. You know something? We were getting out of debt before I went to the government. And so, in your walk with God, it's not the government, it's not even your job. It's God. It's God. God provides you with the ability to get wealth. God provides you with the ability to go to work. God provides you with a check that pays the bills. Now look at me. How many believe that? Then you better be tithing. Amen. We need to be tithing back to God. We need to be sharing. Boy, every time I mention that, it just goes. It's true. Praise God, I can. Amen. Amen. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand. Praise God that you have some cash. Amen. It's true. You know, if I decided to quit tithing, I would be telling God, I got enough. I don't need any more of your blessings. Okay, I'll quit meddling. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Turn back with me to Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Just want to read you a couple scriptures. Send you home in a few minutes, a few hours, a few days. When the sun was setting in verse 40, those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, meaning Jesus. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the demons also came out of many. You say, what's this laying on of hands? It's a transference. Remember when the woman touched Jesus? And Jesus says, who touched me? And Peter said, what are you, nuts? Look at the mob. Then you say, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody touched me because I felt virtue or I felt power going out of me. The Holy Spirit within you, through the name of Jesus, kills diseases in other people. And you say, really? Why not? It's not my hands that do it. I could sit here for the rest of the afternoon and tell you people I've seen healed. People I've seen delivered from demonic power. A few years ago now, I was in the Czech Republic preaching in Prague, outside of Prague. I didn't understand the Czech language, so I had an interpreter. And a lady came forward, and she looked at the interpreter and looked at me and said, I have a demon, what should I do? And the interpreter told me what she said. I said, let it come out. And she said, right here? I said, yeah, right here. Laid my hands on her. In the name of Jesus, I broke that power, which is in the name of Jesus. Her tongue shot out at me like a snake. Yes. In a moment, she was free. Absolutely, perfectly free, enjoying the rest of the service. Laying hands, transferring power, taking authority, and we take authority over sickness. Why would Jesus give you something that he died for and was beaten for to heal? He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And what? By his stripes I'm what? Healed. Sickness didn't come from God. It came because of sin. People say, well, God gave me it. Then go to the doctor. If God gave it to you and that's such a blessing, don't go get pills to kill it. Hello, I know. Doesn't fit in your theology, but that's okay. The Bible said, because of one man's sin, death passed to all. Death passed to all. Through sickness, through pain, through accidents, through all kinds of things. I don't know if my kids know it or not. My children. My adult children. 43 years ago today, my folks were killed. 43 years ago. God didn't do it to them. God is not the author of my death or your death. When you see people who are sick, pray for them. Heal them. Do you know something? The Bible says he gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints, and for the work of the ministry. In other words, all of us should be doing what God told us. It's not that let the leader do it or let somebody else do it. You can't imagine the thrill when you see the power of God working through your life to bring someone to Christ or to set them free from bondage or to heal them in the name of Jesus. It's amazing. It's exciting. And you have that authority in the name of Jesus. You have that power. I was thinking this morning as I was working on this that we used to sing a song, "We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We got the power in the name of the Lord." We've got the power. Look at me for a moment. I'm done. Almost done. As I continue to close. Whatever you want to say. There is power in your life you haven't used if you're a Christian. You've got the power in the name of Jesus to come against anything you face. There are some things we walk through. I had to walk through my folks' death. I had to walk through my sister's death. I had to walk through some things. But in everything that's happened in my life, God has given divine ability to get through it. What are you facing right now? What are you looking at right now? What did you lay awake last night worried about? And what in the world has any time you've been filled with worry or anxiety or fear, how'd that ever help you? Amen?
Amen?
Come on. The National Guard used to have a slogan, "You can sleep tonight because we're awake."
Amen.
God has that same slogan. You can sleep tonight because we're awake.
Amen.
So in your life, as you're facing all this stuff, understand, it's Jesus who takes care of it all. Even our kids' college. Or whatever else we're facing. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of your marriage. If you need to change, don't hold on to stupidity. Change. By the power of Jesus. Don't keep doing the same things you've been doing over and over again. Kirk says that's insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Can't do it. If you're looking at your spouse to change, you change first.
Amen.
Hello. Amen. Come on. Get a little excitement in here. I'm going to sleep. There's power in the name of Jesus to fix everything. God's not concerned about fixing your spouse or your children. He's concerned about fixing us. Me. And then when I'm fixed up where he wants me, my spouse's problems don't seem quite as big. Isn't that amazing?
That's right.
What do you think, Dave?
I think that's right.
So you're letting him work on you. You're going to let him change you.
Yeah, that's right. I've been trying.
And that one sitting by you. You know, we make life, and I know it's time to go. We make life too difficult. And you know I make it so difficult? Because I get selfish.
That's right.
I want what Dwight wants, and I want it my way. I want to control. Because of fear, I want to control some things. I'm afraid of what happens if I lose control. People want to control the church. Why? What are they going to do with it when they get control? What are you going to do when you get control of your wife or your husband or your children or whatever? What's control? Do you know what control brings? You're responsible. So if you're demanding being control, then you're responsible for every situation, every problem in the family. Whoa! We love that, don't we? Praise God. I know I'm messing around. But every once in a while, God just wants to look at some things that's beyond what we've preached in your life. These signs, and we're done, shall follow those who believe. In my name, Jesus said, you're going to cast out devils. You're going to speak with new languages. You're going to take up serpents and they don't hurt you. You're going to drink any deadly thing or consume anything deadly. It's not going to kill you. You're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover.